And we are going to be taking a little bit of a hiatus from our normal series. We're going to finish that up next week, actually, the field training series. Looking forward to that next week. But today we'll be in Matthew. So if you would take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 2. And when you find your place in Matthew chapter number 2, we'll all stand, if we're able, for the reading of the Word of God this morning, remembering what we have. The infallible, the eternal, the perfect, preserved word of the living God. That's why we stand. And we're going to read the first 11 verses this morning. Got a lot I want to say, so we're going to jump right into it. Okay? Some of you know it's the wise men, so pastors are still hobby horse. Yes, okay? Sunday school hour is hobby horse hour. Okay, can I do that? Only partly. So, anyways. My passion is just to be biblical, amen, in all that we do. And so we're going to help that this morning. Matthew chapter 2. Look at verse number 1, if you would. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Now who believes the king there? I don't think he wanted to worship. In fact, we know what he wanted to do. But look in verse number 10. No, 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So we're going to pray, and we will consider this passage. The title is this: Wise Men Still Seek Him. Wise Men Still Seek Him. So let's pray and get into it. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We're thankful, God, that you have made clear what you want from us, out of our life, from your word. And Lord, without it, we'd be lost. Without it, we would be wondering, Lord, through this life, purposeless, and trying to figure things out and failing over and over again. But we're thankful that you've given us your word so that we can know you, and we can know how that we can follow you and seek you in our life. Pray that you help me to explain this passage. Pray that you be honored through all we do. Christ in my pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for sharing. So there was a preacher who visited a small southern town where there was a beautiful nativity scene. It was obvious that there was great skill, a lot of talent that went into creating it, months of hard work. And he was admiring it, but there was one small feature that bothered him. Some of you know this story, this documentary. And the three wise men, they were wearing firemen's helmets. Weird. And so he looked at it, he thought about it, totally unable to come up with any reason why they would be wearing firemen's helmets. He left, and he went to a gas station at the edge of town. And while he was there, he couldn't help but ask a lady behind the counter, "So what's with the helmets? Why are the wise men wearing helmets?" And she exploded in rage at him and yelled at him, She said, "You Yankees never do read your Bibles." And he assured her he did. He was a preacher, and he's read that several times, and he couldn't recall anything about firemen in the Bible anywhere. She yelled back, "Then how could you not know that the three wise men came from afar?" From afar. Amen. So, of course, if they're coming from afar, they had their fireman helmet on. And so, amen. You know, there's there's a lot that we don't know about the wise men. There's a lot that we think we know about the wise men. And the story of the wise men leaves us with all kinds of questions. It's really an anomaly. There's a lot that happens we just don't know. Where did they come from? All we know is from the east. Other than that, we don't really know for sure. How many were there? Well, we're not sure about that. The number three, it comes from the three gifts they gave. But on such a long journey, there's probably more than three that came. And there was a caravan. We'll deal with that in a moment. What about that star? What was that? We don't know. How did they know to follow the star? Don't know. How did they know that that star meant the king of Israel was born? We don't know. So there's all kinds of mystery and stuff about the wise men. Scripture doesn't give us a lot of details. I will tell you there's more details than what's right there present that we're going to get into today. But I will say tradition has made a heyday out of the wise men. They've come up with all kinds of things. They love to fill in the cracks and do all of that. So tradition says, again, there are three of them, that they traveled on camels across the desert, silhouetted behind the nighttime sky, you know, graced with palm trees, you know, the wise men. Tradition gave them names. I don't know if you knew that. Their names are Caspar, Melchor, and Balthazar. Tradition tells us where they came from. Tradition tells us what they did with their life and where they went after that. Tradition tells us that they were baptized by Thomas. And when they died, their bodies were preserved in Constantinople. And centuries later, their bones are there in Cologne. And if you want to pay for it, you can go see their bones. Right now. You can go find the bones of the wise men. No, you can't, right? But tradition wants us to know that you can't. Tradition has basically told their entire story. And the only problem is that most of that is just tradition. There's no proof for any of what I just said at all. And I want to tell you this morning, too, if God wanted us to know all of those details, he would have told us all of those details. And so we really need to be okay with knowing what God told us and not being so worried about what God didn't tell us. Okay. So it doesn't really matter how many there are. It doesn't really matter where they came from necessarily. It doesn't even matter how they knew that the king had arrived. What does matter, and what God has made very clear to us, is how they responded when they found out the king is here. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had arrived. How do you respond? And by the way, the same can be said of you this morning. It doesn't really matter who you are. It doesn't really matter how you came to find out that Jesus is real and that he is king. What matters is what you do with that. What do you do with that information? Jesus is king. He is in control. He is the only one who deserves worship. He is the only one who deserves praise, and we should follow him. And so how do you respond to that? In our passage, in Matthew chapter 2, we have the wise men and we have Herod, and both of those groups of people, the wise men and Herod, they both found out that the king was born, and they had very different responses to that. The wise men, of course, saw the star of the king of the Jews, and they sought out Jesus, and they wanted to worship him. They sought him, and they wanted to worship him. Herod found out that the king of the Jews had come, and he became anxious, and he plotted a way to get out of his reign, right? And to get rid of that king and do what he wanted. And so I want to tell you this morning, and this is really, I'm giving it to you up front, and then we're going to dig into this, but Jesus is king, he is Lord, he is God, and he is the one that we ought to obey. And honestly, we have a responsibility to find out what he wants, to seek him, and we have a responsibility to do what he wants. He is king, and you're not. And so the question this morning is, how will you respond to that? Will you do your best to hold on to power and live the life that you want to live and do what you can to slip out from under his reign? Or will you submit and have a desire to worship him, and from that desire, seek him out. That's the message of Matthew 2. So this morning, I don't want to focus too much on King Herod. I want to focus on the wise men and how they responded to all of this. As we know, they heard about the King of the Jews, and immediately, here's their immediate response, they wanted to worship him. They had a strong desire to worship him. And from that strong desire to worship him, then they sought after him. You see that? They had a desire, and then they sought him. And wise men still seek him. And if you're wise, then you'll respond to the knowledge that Jesus is King, that he is Lord, and you'll have, because of that, a strong desire. And by the way, it's a choice you make. You choose to have a strong desire to worship him and follow him and make him king. And then from that desire, you choose to seek him out and find out what he wants and find out where he wants you to go. But in order to follow him and in order to obey him as king, you have to know what he wants. You can't obey unless you've heard what he said. And so you've got to seek him out. And that's what the wise men did. They knew that the king was there. They just didn't know what he wanted, and they wanted to worship him. And so this morning, I want to learn from their example about this, how to follow after God, how to seek God out, how to follow God. You could even say it, how to seek out God's will. What does God want from you? And the wise men have their example here is one we can follow. So somehow, as we know, God made clear to the wise men the King of the Jews had arrived. And again, I told you this already, we don't really know how they knew that. But I want to remind you this morning that Matthew is writing to the Jews, right? The book, we have four Gospels, and they all have really a different purpose in their writing. We're going through Luke on Sunday mornings. Luke wrote to Theophilus. He was a Gentile. He was a Greek citizen, wasn't Jewish. So Luke wrote in a different way than Matthew would have. Matthew wrote specifically to the Jews, the first century Jews. And the Jews would have heard about wise men from the east. Look at verse 1. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, verse 1, there came wise men from the east. And when the Jews, listen, when the first century Jews heard these words, wise men from the east, something would have immediately went to their mind and would have been Daniel. So Daniel 2:48, I'm just going to read it to you. You can write that down. Daniel 2:48 says this, and the king made Daniel a great man and gave him great gifts and made him, listen, ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel was over the wise men of Babylon. Well, what is Babylon? Well, Babylon was located in Mesopotamia, primarily present-day Iraq, which is the east. Are you following this? And so Daniel was placed over, and Israel would have known this, he was placed over the wise men in the east. Okay? So what are the wise men? They were not kings. Anyway, thank you, Catholicism. Not kings, all right? They were advisors to the king. Nebuchadnezzar was the king. The wise men consulted the king. They would give him guidance. They would give him stuff about politics, personal decisions, all of these different things. By the way, most of them in the east would have gone to their false gods and got all this wisdom from the false gods and gave it to the king. But thankfully, Daniel was over them, and Daniel gave them biblical wisdom, and they can use that biblical wisdom to help the king. That's what happened in Daniel. So he was put over those. And we also know that Daniel wrote about what we call the Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy. And we're not going to go through all that today. If you've been here in Revelation, then you know what that means. But what Daniel's 70-week prophecy does, it tells us the exact day, to the day. Daniel wrote this hundreds of years before. It tells us to the day when the King of the Jews would arrive. Not when he was born, but the day that he would enter into Jerusalem and be crowned king. We call it today the triumphal entry. Remember when Jesus walks in on the donkey and everyone cries, Hosanna, Hosanna? That very day, Daniel told them what day that would be. That very day. And so it only makes sense then that Daniel would have talked to the wise men about this. Are you following this? Okay. And so if the wise men in the East back in those days, and I'm sure that was all written down and kept in the wise men quarters, if they knew what day Jesus was going to ride in on the donkey as king, they would have assumed, okay, what age would he be? Probably 20 or 30 years old when he becomes king. And so you can take that day and go backwards 20 or 30 years, and around that time, the king of the Jews would be born. How are we doing? See that? So these wise men in the East, of the lineage of the wise men of Daniel, would have all been kept in the same thing, and they would have kept studying it. Obviously they did. They knew some things about this king. And so it's not unreasonable that Daniel would have left these wise men in the East instructions on what to look for when the king of the Jews arrived. Why else would a kingdom in the East care about this? All right? So what about the star? How did the king see the star? Well, maybe Daniel taught them about Numbers 24:17. Maybe. Numbers 24:17 says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter, meaning king, shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and on it goes. So maybe they were looking for a star because of that. We don't really know exactly. We don't know, again, all of this, we're not totally concerned. We don't know for sure, but we're making biblical case here that would make the most sense. Also, we don't really know what this star was. They knew they were looking for a star somehow, but we don't know what a star was. In that day, they didn't know about the big, huge balls of gas in the sky. They didn't know there were other planets. They didn't know asteroids or meteorites. I don't think they had any satellites. But they would look up in the sky, and they would see bright lights, and anything out there, that's a star. In fact, angels are sometimes called stars in the Bible. Maybe, again, we don't know for sure, but maybe the star was that bright heavenly host. Do you remember the night Jesus was born? We're going to deal with this tonight. The night Jesus was born, and hark the herald angels sing, and a great multitude of angels were in the sky praising and glorifying God, and the light was so bright that the shepherds had to fall on their face. Remember all that? It could be that the wise men saw that. That would have been weird. That would have been different. They would have saw that and say, what is happening over there in the west? Because they're in the east, right? Looking to the west at Israel and seeing that. Already thinking the king of the Jews could come any time, and now they see this. That could be it. We don't know again for sure. All we do know, the wise men saw something in the sky, and they knew that meant the king of the Jews was born. You following still? Okay. And so they start heading toward Israel. Look in verse 2. Well, the end of verse 1. There came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now I want you to look at verse 9. When they heard the king, remember, this is after the king told them where to go to Bethlehem. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, pause. Let's figure out what the Bible is telling us about this star thing. So we know they came from the east, and the Bible says they saw the star in the east. That doesn't mean the star was in the east. That means they were in the east, and while they were in the east, for the sake of today, this is the east, okay? And while they were in the east, they saw a star. And then they go that direction, all right? Now, I have it all written down so it all makes sense. So then, as far as we know, they didn't see the star again until verse 9. So they head toward Israel. And then we get to Herod and all that. We have this discussion with Herod. And then they start heading toward Bethlehem. And then the star's there. Now, if the star was there the whole time, why would they be celebrating when it's back? Are you following this? So the star wasn't in the sky the whole time. They saw it once. It was gone. Then they made it all the way to Jerusalem. And then they see the star again, and it leads them to Bethlehem. Are you following that? Are we doing good? Okay. Sometimes we get the idea that the wise men saw the star, and they just followed the star on their little camels and by the palm trees, and the star's there the whole time, following yonder star. No, they didn't follow the star. They saw the star once, and then they moved. So, I'm just going to give it to you right here. We're going to repeat ourselves just so we remember what's going on. So really, here's how the Bible lays it out. They're in the east. They're anticipating that the king of the Jews would be born. They see the star one night while they were in the east, and somehow they knew that meant the king of the Jews was born. And because the king of the Jews was born, they had a desire to worship him. And so what they did is they started heading toward Israel. Not because the star was still over there, but because, why? Because it's the king of the Jews. And where do the Jews live? Israel. And you know where they went when they left the east? Not Bethlehem. Jerusalem. Right? They went to Jerusalem. Now, if the star was constantly guiding them to Bethlehem, the star did a bad job because the star would have led them 6 miles north of Bethlehem to Jerusalem. But here's the thing. When they started heading that way, they didn't know where the king would be born. They just knew he was the king of the Jews. And listen, this is really important. This is all going to matter later. What they assumed was, and the reasonable thing was, if the king of the Jews was born, he would be born in Jerusalem, in the capital. And so they head there. And you know, they're probably expecting a big fanfare, like, the king is born, where is he? And they show up, and he's not there. And here's what they did. They acted on what they knew. And as they followed God, they knew the king was born, and then they just used their own mind and just made a reasonable decision. I know the king's born. I don't know where he is. What's the most rational, reasonable thing to do? Go to Jerusalem. Are you following it? Seeing that, what I'm saying? All right. And they get there, and they ask Herod where the king of the Jews was. So King Herod calls the chief priests and the prophets and talk to them, and he asks them, hey, where is this king of the Jews supposed to be born? And so what they did is they took the Bible, right? And they read the Bible, and they found the Bible said in Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem of Ephratah, we read it, though thou art little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that ruler in Israel. And so they find through the Bible, here's where he will be born, Bethlehem. Apparently the wise men didn't have access to Micah. They had access to Daniel and other things, but not Micah. They wouldn't have known he was born in Bethlehem. And so here's what they did. Follow. They want to serve God. They want to worship the king. They see the star. That's it. That's all they know. So they act on what they know, and they make a reasonable decision to head over to Jerusalem. They get to Jerusalem, and then they don't know what to do now because where are they? They get more direction. Where do they get it? From the Bible. And they see what the Bible says. And then they get some more direction, and God reveals, hey, God reveals a little bit more to them. And so they act again on what they know, and they head toward Bethlehem. You see that? Yeah. And when they were heading toward Bethlehem, that's when the star shows back up. They didn't get to Bethlehem and go out looking for the star. I mean, they didn't get to Jerusalem and leave Herod and say, all right, now where's the star at? It led us here. Now what do I do? No, they just knew this. The Bible says Bethlehem, so let's just head to Bethlehem. Right? They didn't wait for the sign to show in the sky. They knew what the Bible says, and they did what the Bible says. And on the way to following the word of God, God made clear, and he put the star back up. Probably another angel, I would guess, that would lead them to the stable, not the stable. The house. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. But led them to right where Jesus was. Now, before I move on, I want you to notice some things about what Herod asks. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Verse Verse 7 says, "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared." So Herod pulls them in and says, "Hey, when did that star appear?" Meaning, when was Jesus born, right? He wants to know when Jesus was born. The wise men, they don't know that Herod wants to kill him, right? They, as far as they know, Herod's great. So they tell Herod, the star appeared at this time. Now look in verse 16. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." You see what's happening here? Herod asks, when was this king born? They say a time. And so then he goes and kills all the children 2 years and under. Now that's horrific, and we're not going to deal with that part. But I want to know this, where do you get that 2 years thing? Well, it said, according to what the wise men said. And so the star appeared probably 2 years ago. When the wise men show up to Herod, it's been 2 years or so. They were not at the nativity. Anyway, if it was that day, how did the wise men teleport from the east to the stable, first of all? It took 2 years. All right. Anyway, which explains in Matthew 2, verse 11, that when they got there, they came to a house, not a stable. They came to a house because by the time the wise men got there, Mary and Joseph wouldn't have stayed in that stable for 2 years. They would have moved out of the stable. All those people that were there for the census, they would have moved out. They would have found a house to stay in and wait until Jesus was older, so they would travel with a newborn all the way back to Nazareth. So they would have been in a house in Bethlehem, and Jesus was probably almost 2 years old when the wise men show up. Okay? So go home and fix your nativity scene. All right. But that's what I don't put them in there. Usually what I do, you buy a nativity scene and the wise men are there. So what I normally do is I put the nativity scene here, and then I put the wise men like somewhere else in the house because they're on their way. Okay? Put the star. All right. But the point is not that. All right? The point is this. How did the wise men respond? How did they respond to what? Listen, how did the wise men respond to what God revealed to them? That's what matters. It's not really how they found out that Christ was king. The point is how they responded when they found out that Christ was king. And first is they responded with a desire to worship. And by the way, they would have recognized him as a special king. He wouldn't just be any king. It's not normal for people to leave their countries and travel, by the way, for 2 months or at least, so they can worship somebody else's king of a different country. That's not normal. They would have known this is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is God in the flesh. This is who Daniel talked about. This is the one who's going to die for us. They would have known all of that, and they would have come and worshiped him. So they wanted to worship the King of Kings, but they just didn't know when, and they just didn't know where, and they just didn't know how. And so then they see the star, and they know somehow. He's born. The king of the Jews is here. Here's what they do. They act on it. God reveals something to them. They act on it. And they just made a reasonable decision. God didn't tell them to go to Jerusalem. God didn't reveal to them that he would be there. He just revealed the king of the Jews was born. And here's what they did. Listen, they used their brains. God gave them brains. I want you to know, God gave you brains. And then he reveals things to you. And if you have a desire to follow him, and you take what God has revealed to you, and then you make a rational decision based on that, you're following him. And so they make a reasonable decision to look for the king of the Jews, and so they go to Jerusalem. Now that's about 800 to 900 miles. 800 or 900 miles. That would have taken time, right? They would have had to put a whole traveling caravan together because you don't travel for 2 months with just 3 people. They would have put this whole thing together. They would have had to gather supplies to make a long journey like this. Hey, this This isn't a journey they've probably ever taken before. Who travels for 2 months like this? They probably haven't. And so the journey all by itself would take a couple of months if they pushed it. But who knows how long it took for them to get the travel plans together and pack all the supplies and make the arrangements. And they're the wise men, so they can't just leave without permission. So they got to go to their king and tell him what's going on. And hey, oh, we're going to go worship another king. I don't know how that went. And they got to make all these plans. And so this, what I'm telling you is this process could have easily taken up to 2 years. And here's the point. All that time, nothing else revealed. They just have what God told them 2 years ago. And they're just acting on it. Hey, they just know what God said, and they're being reasonable and rational and trying to follow God. And so they make it to Jerusalem, and they get more information. They make it to Jerusalem, and they get more information from where? From the Word of God. And God reveals himself through the Word of God to them. And he tells them it's in Bethlehem. So when they get more direction from the Word of God, they act on it. Again, the star hadn't appeared yet. They had already made a decision. I'm just going to go to Bethlehem and see how God leads when I get there. And so they start heading toward Bethlehem. And then the star shows up, you see, and gives them right where God wants them to be. And why did I say all that? Because that's how we seek God today. That's how we seek him. We act on what God has revealed. And usually, God doesn't reveal everything to us. Usually, God doesn't say, get up in the morning, put this color socks on, put this shoes on, put this thing on, and then drive this direction to the place. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that, usually. Normally, it's something like this. Just go that way. Right? The wise men are over here, and all they know is, go that way. And for 2 years, all they've got is, go that way. And so they just start going that way, and they get everything ready, and they start going that way. And then usually as you're going that way, hopefully in that you're reading the Word of God and you're hearing what God says, along the way you'll find out, uh-oh, this isn't exactly right. I'm going to change course. You see? And they get to Jerusalem, and they find out, not in Jerusalem, actually in Bethlehem. Now, are they in trouble for that? Are they in trouble because they came to Jerusalem and not Bethlehem? No. They're just following God based on what God has revealed. They're not all anxious and like, oh no, I got the exact right step if I'm going to follow God. That's not it. You take what God has revealed, you first have a desire to worship him, then you take what God has revealed, and you use your brain, and you follow God. And you trust that along the way, if you get off course, he'll correct it. How are we doing? And so then they start heading towards Bethlehem, and the star appears. And God gives them specific instruction. This is exactly how it works today. God doesn't usually give the whole journey to us, does he? He gives the next step, usually. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my what? Feet, and a light unto my path. Those are the same things. What they would have is they would typically have some kind of lamp attached to their feet, and they would know the next step in the darkness. And that's how God usually tells us his plan. He doesn't show us a lot in the head. He gives us, hey, he reveals to us enough so that we can know what is the next best step. And he wants us to use our minds, and he wants us to make a rational decision based on his word. So God will often work through vague directions. I want you to know this. 90 to 95% of the Christian life, God works in vague instructions. Things like this. Be faithful to church. Just be faithful to church. Read your Bible every day. Be kind one to another. Work the field. Do all to the glory of God. Tell people about Christ. Usually, God doesn't say, hey, talk to him. No. He has said, tell people about Christ. So you go tell people about Christ. And he puts you in a situation where you can talk to somebody. But he doesn't go, hello, down there. Go talk to the second cashier. Not usually. He expects you to take the directions of the Word of God and apply them rationally to your life and to live your life based upon what God said and not what you think. And as you're heading the way he said to go, you make reasonable, biblical decisions, step by step, and you can trust that God will then orchestrate things, and he's in control, and as you're just following him, he will move and be at work and lead you to the right way. And he'll give you specific direction. He might lead you to a specific ministry. He might open opportunities to witness to a specific person. It's not a weird voice. It's that God did this and he orchestrated. You can trust that God's in control. He might put you in a situation where you can be a specific help to a brother or sister. He did that. In those moments, here's what you do. You take those specific circumstances and you consider what God has already revealed to you and you get biblical counsel, right? The Bible says in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And so if we're just listening, you know, for some mystical voice, why do we need counselors? We need counselors. We need counsel, don't we? We need to be talking to spiritual leaders. Why? Because we need to make a wise, rational decision based upon the Word of God and trusting that God will be involved in that process. You see? So the main point is this. Here's the main thing you need to worry about. You don't need to worry about all the specifics. You need to be worried about this. Do I have a desire to follow Christ? Do I have a desire to worship Christ? And if that's the case, then you can trust that God will lead you somehow. He doesn't tell us how all the time. Sometimes it's through circumstances. Sometimes it's through conversation. Sometimes it's through the Word of God itself. But he'll guide you. The wise men and Herod both heard the word of God. Right? The wise men and Herod both heard the same sermon. The wise men had a desire to follow Christ, and God used that to help them follow Christ. Herod had no desire to follow Christ, and he tried to use the word of God to help him kill Christ. You see? So what matters most is that you choose to have a desire to follow Christ. Make him king. Surrender to whatever God wants. Yeah. And then from that desire, make reasonable, biblical decisions based upon what God has revealed. And then you've got to get more revealed. You got to get your face in the book and get more instructions. And God will reveal more to you and more to you. And God will bring you through things. And he'll bring you through hard things sometimes. And he'll teach you through those hard things. And he's shaping you and molding you and teaching you and giving you instructions. And he's revealing himself to you day by day. And so all you need to worry about, friend, is having a desire to follow him and hearing how he reveals himself to you and then making a decision based on that. That's the Christian life. And then you got to be willing for God to change your mind. Because the wise men made what was a biblical, reasonable decision to go to Jerusalem. But then they were confronted with the Word of God and they changed. You see? And so here's what you do. You have a big decision in your life. Think about the circumstance you're in. Think about what God has said in His Word. Get biblical counsel from spiritual leadership, from me or from others in this church, and tell them what's going on and tell them the circumstances, and they hopefully will have more of the Word of God, you know, that maybe you don't have, and we can look at this and find out what is the most biblical and reasonable decision right here. That's what wisdom is, right? Wisdom is making the most biblical and reasonable decision based on what God has revealed, and then go that way and be ready to change course if you need to. But don't just sit there and wait for the star to come back. They didn't wait for that star to come back. They knew what God said and they acted on it. That's what you do. And trust this. Trust God that if you start heading the wrong way, he'll make sure you know. and be ready to change. How are we doing? This is how we follow God. This is how wise men still seek Him. Keep your nose in the Word of God. Trust that God will lead you. Act on what He's revealed. And you can be a wise man. And God will lead you. God, thank you for your Word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for leading us and directing us through your Word. And God, we do thank you for those moments of the star moments in our life where you intervene. But God, help us just to trust your Word. Help us to not need those things, but Lord, to trust what you've already said and just do what you've already told us to do, surrendering to your way and trusting your leadership. And Lord, pray that you would help us all to be wise men and wise women who seek you. Lord, we love you. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to be dismissed here in a second.